Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Megillat Esther, Perek Chet. On that day, the very day when the true character of Haman had been revealed to him, King Ahasuerus gave to Queen Esther the house of Haman, enemy of the Jews, and Mordechai came before the king, for Esther told him of his relationship to her. The king removed his ring, which he had taken back from Haman, and gave it to Mordechai, and Esther placed Mordechai in charge of the house of Haman. And Esther continued to speak before the king, and she fell at his feet, crying and pleading with him to revoke the evil decree of Haman the Agagite and his plot to destroy the Jewish people. The king extended his golden scepter toward Esther, and Esther rose before the king, and she said, "If it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his eyes, and it is appropriate to the king, and I am good in his eyes, let it be written to recall the letters written by Haman the son of Hammedata the Agagite, containing his plot to destroy the Jews in all the provinces of the king. For how could I bear to see the evil befall my people? And how could I bear to see the destruction of my kindred?" It appears that, by transferring the authority of Haman to Mordechai and Esther, Ahasuerus had effectively exempted them from the decree, but took no action with regard to the Jewish people as a whole. Therefore, Esther fell before him, crying and pleading, until the king extended his scepter as a signal that he would hear and consider her request. The intensity of her actions reflects her complete self-abnegation on behalf of her people. She was inconsolable as long as the threat to the Jewish nation still loomed large. The fact of her own personal redemption was insignificant to her. We have grown accustomed to the formula in verse 5, Im al hamelech tov, ve'im matzati chen lefanav, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor before him. But here, Esther is not content with merely two expressions, but adds two more. Ve'kasher hadavar lifnei hamelech, ve'tova ani be'inav, and if it is appropriate before the king, and I am good in his eyes. Malbim attaches unique meaning to each phrase. He explains that in general, there are two motives that might prompt the king to grant a request. Either he approves of the request itself, and or he favors the person making the request. Thus, if it pleases the king, meaning if he approves of the request, and if I have found favor in his eyes, me personally, this formula has sufficed until now, but only yielded personal salvation for Esther and Mordechai. Thus, Esther adds in this case, if it is kasher be'inav, the right thing to do, implying that the king will benefit from having acted justly, doing the decent and upright thing. Moreover, v'tova ani be'inav, if I am good in his eyes, the king must do something to save my people, for I could not bear to remain alive and witness their destruction. If they are to suffer this end, so too will I. Therefore, if the king values me, he must grant my request and revoke the decree. The king said to Queen Esther and to Mordechai the Jew, "Behold, I have given the house of Haman to Esther, and he himself was hanged on the gallows for having dared to plot against the Jews. And now, you may write regarding the Jews as you see fit in the name of the king and sealed with the king's signet ring, for an edict signed with the king's signet ring may not be revoked." In other words, you figure out on your own how to handle the situation. Cleverly and inspired by Ruach HaKodesh, by divine inspiration, Mordechai and Esther called the king's scribes, and on the 23rd of Sivan, They wrote to the Jews and the governors and officials of all the 127 provinces of the king, to each province and each nation in its own language and in its own script. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed with the king's signet ring, and scrolls were sent in the hands of the runners and horsemen riding the king's swiftest horses, that the king had permitted the Jews of each city to assemble and defend their lives, to destroy, kill, and eradicate the fighters of any city and province who attacks them, together with their wives and children, and to plunder their spoils. On one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, the text of the decree was to be declared as law in every province, displayed openly to every nation, that the Jews might be prepared on that day to exact vengeance from their enemies. The runners and horsemen riding the finest steeds went out in urgent haste at the word of the king, and the edict was decreed in Shushan, the capital. And Mordechai went out from before the king in royal garments of blue and white, with a large gold crown and a purple or scarlet, different interpretations of the word argaman, robe of fine linen, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was happy. For the Jews, there was light and joy, gladness and honor. LaYehudim haita ora v'simcha v'sason v'ikar. And in every province where word of the king and his decree reached, there was gladness and rejoicing among the Jews, feasting and celebration. And many among the nations professed Judaism, for fear of the Jews fell upon them. These verses parallel the verses in chapter 4 that describe the reception of the decree of Haman in Shushan and in the far reaches of the kingdom. In that event, Mordechai's change of clothing to sackcloth and ashes on his head signified disaster to all the Jews of Shushan, and they responded with mourning, fasting, and crying. Now, with the reversal of events, Mordechai's change of clothing to royal garments is the signal for the Jews to rejoice and celebrate their salvation. The Jewish people recognized Mordechai as a prophetic leader, one whose outer physical behavior reflected an inner spiritual reality. In keeping with this idea, the Sefer Mishpitzot Zahav quotes the classic Hasidic Sefer Tiferet Shlomo, who explains that the reference to Tchelet, blue, immediately brings to mind the ptil tchelet, the blue string of the tzitzit. Just as the purpose of the tchelet in the tzitzit is ure'item oto, uzchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem va'asitem otam, when you see the strand of tchelet, you will be reminded of Hashem's commandments and you will observe them. The blue of the tchelet reminds us of the heavens and Hashem's throne, and motivates us to keep the commandments. So too, explains the Tiferet Shlomo, the extraordinary holiness, commitment, and dedication of Mordechai and Esther served, like the Tchelet, to spread Yirat Shamayim, fear and reverence of Hashem, throughout the land. He further reads between the lines and interprets the text in verse 17, Uvechol medina umedina, uvechol ir va'ir, mekom asher dvar hamelech v'dato magia. In every province and every city where the word of the king and his law reached, as another hint to Hashem, melech malchei hamlachim, the king of all kings. Everywhere the word of Hashem and his Torah reached the hearts of the people, it was a source of great joy to the Jewish people, who returned to the service of Hashem with great rejoicing. And this widespread renewal of Yirat Shamayim, fear of heaven, impacted the non-Jews as well. And they too fell under the influence of Mordechai and wished to convert to Judaism. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.